What a fantastic day. And what encouraging things we've had shared with us already. And I pray that that will continue over the next few minutes, otherwise you're all going to get really bored. Okay? But I want to touch on a subject that quite often I tend to zip through and pass it by because we celebrate and give thanks and recognise Easter quite clearly and spend a lot of time looking at that, and rightly so. And then next Sunday, of course, is Pentecost Sunday. And of course, we'll be focusing on God's gift of the Holy Spirit to his church. But in between that period, there's something called the Ascension. And I want to, for a few minutes this morning, think about the Ascension. When Jesus rose from the dead, which we celebrate on Easter Sunday, then there's a great celebration of that. Jesus has conquered the grave. Yes. Come on. And then for 40 days, he appears to a series of his disciples. And let me just read what the Apostle Paul says about that in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says this, verse 3, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at one time." And sisters. It does say and sisters, actually, just to qualify. "Most of whom who are still living," Paul said, "though some have fallen asleep." Never mind. "Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all," Paul says, "he appeared to me also." Paul had that revelation of Jesus when he was knocked off his horse and on that road to Damascus. But over that 40-day period, Jesus appears to his disciples. And then 40 days were up on the Mount of Olives. A number of them watched him ascend to heaven. And Ascension Day, which is really 40 days including Easter Day, so 39 days after Easter Day, would be a Thursday. And it would be this year, 3 days ago, on the 5th of May. This year, we would recognize that. 10 days before Pentecost. And it's interesting, I always find this fascinating, of all those people that Jesus appeared to in that 40-day period before his ascension, 24% of them, only 24% of them, made it to the prayer meeting on Pentecost Day. The statistics in the church are probably pretty similar today. Let's not dwell on that, shall we? Okay, so what happened when Jesus ascended? Let's go to Acts chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles. Let's read a few verses from Acts 1, starting to read at verse 1. This is Dr. Luke writing, and he says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. Wow, what an experience. Something to witness. You know, you're with Jesus. I mean, A, it's incredible that Jesus is alive. You imagine being one of those disciples. You know, this incredible thing that Jesus has conquered the grave and he keeps appearing, he keeps talking to them, he keeps commissioning them for what he wants them to do. And they come to this point, and all of a sudden, he just begins to ascend. Wow. And I don't know how you would have been, but I would have been mouth open, doing exactly what those guys were doing, looking up into the sky, watching him go and disappearing into the clouds. Phenomenal. What happened when Jesus ascended? Well, this is what the Bible says. When Jesus ascended, he was, and he still is, enthroned and reigning and ruling with the Father over the whole of the universe. He's seated in a high place today. And I'm going to quickly go through some scriptures with you just to land this. Hebrews, the writer in Hebrews 12 says, for the joy set before him, this was Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus is today, seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning over all of creation, over you, over me, over this world in which we live. A little earlier on in Hebrews, the writer says this, that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for a while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Why did Jesus come? He came to be that sacrifice for us, so that you and I do not have to taste eternal death, because Jesus tasted death on our behalf. And today, those of us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior have eternity secure and assured with him, that our sins are dealt with. You know, when God deals with something, he deals with it full stop. Well, the Americans would say, period. Yeah, I quite like that. Dealt with, period. Jesus is ruling and reigning. In the Old Testament, Daniel had a vision. And in chapter 7, it says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days, God himself, and was led into his presence. And he was given, Jesus was given glory and sovereign power. Listen to this. All nations and peoples, every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. You and I are on the winning side. Clearly. Stephen, when he's about to be stoned in the New Testament, first martyr of the church, Acts chapter 7, it says he was full of the Holy Spirit, just about to be stoned to death. And he looked up into heaven and he saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, he said, look, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I can see it, he says. I've got a revelation of Jesus standing in authority right by the side of the Father. The apostles of old picked up on it, and the early church writers picked up on all of this. And you know, there are some key components to our Christian faith. And we, if you study this stuff, you'll have heard of something called the Apostles' Creed, where it declares who Jesus is and what he did. And it declares, there's a line in there that he said, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that is something that the Church of Jesus Christ has been declaring for centuries. That's what we believe. We serve this risen God, this risen Savior. You know, we sing a song, don't we, based on the Creed. It's called This I Believe. And a few of the lines go, our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. We've just been remembering that here with communion this morning. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life, forever seated high. You know, when we're singing these songs, let's remember the truth behind them, what God is declaring to us, and that Jesus will reign at God's right hand until all those enemies, all the enemies, are subdued, Scripture tells us. Acts chapter 2, again, Luke is writing here, and he says, David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, and he quotes Psalm 110, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. This one who was crucified is now Lord and Messiah. Liz started off this morning and made that statement that we often make. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Seated on high. He must reign, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, until he has put all enemies under his feet. And according to Paul, if that is true, he said, you know, we serve this risen Saviour and we are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. He is seated in heaven. We are Christ's ambassadors on earth. Now, I don't know whether you've ever looked up the word ambassador. I remember British Leyland made an ambassador car. It was pretty ugly. A bit of a wedge. Not a very good car, really. But I tell you what, when you look up the definition of ambassador, it's brilliant. Would you like me to read it to you? Good, because I'm going to. Listen to this. We are ambassadors of Christ, okay? The ruling and reigning one in heaven. Get a hold of this. If you get hold of this, if I get hold of this, it changes everything. Ambassadors are diplomats of the highest rank, formally representing the head of state, with plenipotentiary powers. You're impressed. Would you like to know what plenipotentiary means? Having full authority to represent their government. Wow. Wow. Because of the resurrection, because of the ascension of Jesus, now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he says, now I'm putting you in a place of authority here on earth with plenipotentiary powers, having full authority to represent the rule and reign of Jesus Christ on earth. Irene said, you know, this morning about having a glass ceiling busted. We just need some glass ceilings busted. And a recognition of what God is asking of us and saying of us that we have this authority as we continue to represent him here on earth. So there's incredible significance with the ascension. Let's think about a number of things. Number one, as Jesus ascended, now at the right hand of the Father, the Scriptures tell us that he is now our mediator. He is mediating on our behalf with the Father, advocating for us. How many of you know sometimes we just need somebody to speak on our behalf? Well, right now, Jesus is doing it for you and me. Wow. Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is speaking on our behalf, on the basis of what he has achieved on the cross, dying for us, giving us freedom from sin. We sang it this morning, didn't it? I don't care whether it is availed or avails, Andy. It just works. It just works. The blood of Jesus works on our behalf. And because of this mediatory role that Jesus has, 1 John 1 says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. You know, it's great to hear from Pete about three children this morning. asking Jesus Christ to come into their life, to ask forgiveness of their sins. And, you know, the Bible tells us we've all got to come like little children before him. And say, Lord, we recognize who we are, that as human beings, we are people who make mistakes. We've done things wrong. We could catalogue them, we won't. But we know in our own hearts and lives things and the issues that we've dealt with or had to deal with. And the guilt sometimes that we walk around with. And yet Jesus says today, I want to get rid of all that over your life. In fact, I've made a way for that to happen. If you give your life to me, ask me to forgive you of your sins. He said, the Bible tells us he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So he's mediating on our behalf. He's ruling over all aspects of life, what we were touching on a moment ago. And because he's ruling, and because we are his ambassadors, we can be an overcoming people. It's an interesting scripture in Revelation 12, verse 11, which is talking about the people of God. And it says, they triumphed over him. Who's that? Satan, the devil. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, i.e. recognizing, as we've done this morning, that Jesus Christ died on our behalf, but now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in authority, ruling and reigning. Because of all that, we can triumph over the devil. If you feel oppressed or depressed this morning, and you think the devil's having a go, you can rule and reign over that. You can triumph over that. You can get victory over that today because Jesus shed his blood on your behalf and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. They triumphed over the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. What an incredible picture of commitment of God's people to him. And we've got this incredible opportunity to come to him with those cares and those burdens. You know, the writer tells us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. You know, we can come to him in prayer. We can hear prayers answered. We can bust through some glass ceilings. Because Jesus said in John 15, a well-known passage to many of us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. God, I'm really convinced, wants us as his people to be an overcoming, powerful representation of his kingdom here on earth. Again, John 14, Jesus speaking says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Because I'm going to the Father, it's down to you, he says, to be my representation here on earth. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. That's having an understanding of the authority that Christ has put in us, having a confidence that Irene was talking about a few moments ago. We can break strongholds and we can see the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How many are up for some more of the kingdom of heaven evidenced in this world? You know, it's not a matter of how strong we might feel or how good we've been. Because Paul says, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not natural. We fight with weapons that are not of this world. On the contrary, 2 Corinthians 10, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments with every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We are Christ. We are Christ. Go on, just say it. We are Christ. We're Christ. We're Christ's ambassadors. We're Christ's people. You know, Hugh read earlier about Christ the head and we're the body, and he fills all in every way. Is that the quote? Pretty much? Yeah. Thereabouts? Ish. Something like that. Hey, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Luke 10, we can overcome all powers, Luke says. All the power of the evil one. You know, Mike was talking a few minutes ago about the children of Israel getting a recognition suddenly after they come through that Red Sea, looking back and seeing the Egyptians swamped, got a recognition of who God was and who they were. That God can deal with impossibilities. Number four, if you're counting, we can be powerful witnesses for Christ on earth because of the ascension. Being salt and light, as we were hearing about last week, because he has sent the Spirit of God from heaven to empower us. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time. In fact, I'm not going to say much more on this, because next week we're going to be talking about Pentecost and this whole deal. Because it's okay having authority. What about some power as well? To wield that authority. Number five. Because of Christ's ascension, we are strengthened and encouraged by the certainty of the hope that we have in Christ. That he has returned to his Father in heaven. That he is in heaven right now, preparing a place for us. And that one day he's going to come back to receive us to himself. Right now, God is preparing a place for you and me. John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. Or would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is coming back for his church, his glorious church, the bride of Christ, the Bible talks about it. He's preparing things now. Isn't it exciting when you get a wedding on the calendar? It's really exciting. And there's all these sort of preparations and all these things happening, and your head's spinning, particularly if you're directly involved, and you think, oh, crumbs, there seems to be so much. And then you look at the bills coming in, and you think, there is so much. No, it's great. It's great. But Jesus right now is preparing for a wedding feast in heaven that you and I are going to be part of. He's been preparing for it for a while. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I pray that every person in this room is going to be part of that, the bride of Christ, the church gathered together in heaven. Because he's preparing a place for you. Don't know whether you've ever had a place prepared for you. Whether anybody's ever said something to you such as, Shirley, I've got this place and it's just for you. That's what Jesus is doing right now. He's preparing a place for you, each one of us. So the ascension, does it matter? Absolutely. It matters. Because it means that Jesus is reigning and ruling in heaven. It matters because he's mediating on our behalf in front of the Father. He's enabling us to be overcoming, stronghold-breaking, kingdom-bringing ambassadors for him. I'll test you on that later. He's empowering us to be his witnesses, and he's preparing a place for us. The ascension is a wonderful thing. Because it's released so much for his church, for you and me, that we can walk in and live in. So 6 weeks ago, we were remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus. Today, we've been considering the ascension. And in 7 days' time, we will be celebrating the power of Pentecost.